Welcome to Cinema Savants, your weekly dose of movie news, movie reviews, and the occasional rumor, with your hosts, Todd Vandenberg and Rob Steele.
And coming up in this week's special edition of Cinema Savants, we're renaming the show temporarily to, Blasters, Beer, and Barbecue. Is that right? Because this week we have Lee Val here with us to talk the new Star Wars movie, which is getting an entire show to itself because, oh my God, there's crap that goes with this movie. And where do we even start? Do we want to start with the money? Because some people think it's making money, and then Lee just told us that Forbes says it's confused.
No, let's start with the money.
Let's start with the money. Announced this morning, The Last Jedi is supposed to be passing the 650 million mark worldwide this weekend. I don't think they're hurting.
No, I don't think they're hurting. Yeah, it's already the seventh highest grossing movie of the year domestically, and it's heading into its second weekend. Now, Lee, you had mentioned the Forbes article. What exactly did the Forbes article say about this?
They said there was no Spock or Kirk, so they were disappointed by that.
Now I understand.
The article came out yesterday morning. So, they said just, and this is North America, but they did say that the daily holds are definitely not meeting expectations after that first weekend. So they think a lot of it made money the first weekend, and due to audiences not going back for seconds, I guess that it's going to still make money because it's Star Wars, but they don't expect it to make nearly, this is of course Forbes, nearly as much money as Disney might have hoped. One of the sentences says Disney could have called it the quote unquote, the Star Wars movie that will completely turn you off from ever seeing another Star Wars movie again, which is kind of ridiculous. And it still would have collected $1.2 billion at the box office.
They didn't bring Jar Jar back.
No, they it's full of crap. For this spoiler, I know we might get to this later, but there's no human characters. It's all porks. So it's just one big porg movie.
That's going to be a new category of film, isn't it?
Porg, as opposed to pork or porn.
It's Porgy and Bess, really. It's just...
Ooh, lovely, lovely. Just without the music.
That's true.
As far as the movie goes, it didn't open as large as The Force Awakens. Of course, there's a big difference between those two, because The Force Awakens was the first one that people were actually looking forward to after the debacle of the prequels. So I can understand why it didn't have the same opening, which a $220 million opening, it's not exactly terrible.
Wank.
Which, by the way, is only $65 million more than Rogue One opened. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see if the Forbes prediction is correct. I have a feeling they're off. Also, maybe their film critic thought it was a disappointing mess and it's going to turn people off. The Rotten Tomato meter, critics basically love it. It's at 92%. But what's interesting is the audience is really split. 53% of the audience likes it. And we just scan through reviews. Most of the reviews are either I loved it, it's 5 stars, or what a piece of garbage. If I could rank it negative stars, I would. There aren't a lot of people that are in the middle on this. Here's the first review. 0.5 star. This whole story sucks. Next one. 1 star. Huge plot holes. Next one. 2 stars. 2.5. 1.5. 1. And then there is a 4 star and a 4.5 and a 3.5. More 1s and 2s. Another 4.5. I mean, there's very little that, yeah, it was okay. I liked it. It's just, man, this was crap. Or, man, this was fantastic. It's the best Star Wars movie ever. So if they wanted people to talk about the film,
they're doing it.
They did the perfect script, because exactly, they're doing it. I mean, this is easily the most talked about Star Wars film ever. Just not that that's like some scientific poll, but that's what the porgs told me, so I'm pretty sure it's right.
I saw an article that came out this morning from Wired magazine that said, let me get this quote here from David Barr Kirtley, who's apparently the star of a different podcast called Geek's Guide to the Galaxy, which looks like it ripped off Douglas Adams, but I'll digress. His quote is, It has the most moral complexity of any of the movies. It has the most surprises of any of the movies, and is the most intellectual and self-aware, and gives you the most to think about afterwards. I didn't think that the surprises were that big a surprise.
I'm pretty sure that finding out who Luke's father is not actually going to be beaten by any surprise they can come up with, and it sure wasn't in this movie.
That was the biggest surprise, I think, in the history of movies, because no one...
Right.
You know, back in the day, we didn't have the internet, and I remember the theater watching this movie, and they, you know, Luke, I am your father, and the entire theater wet itself because no one expected that. And, you know, rumors didn't leak out nearly as much as they do because of the net. So there was nothing even remotely close in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought there were some nice surprises. I mean, find out they were dead the whole time. That was an interesting surprise. But I mean, it was. You know, I mean, there's some. You know, with the Rey character, I think there's some surprises. I don't. I mean, do you go to see a Star Wars film for the moral, you know, aptitude of? I mean, no. So I mean, I think a lot of people are trying. To me, at least, it seems like a lot of people are trying to see Star Wars and maybe some subtleness of what is happening in the larger scope of politics in the United States, and where you have this small band of resistance, you know, and then they want to bring that into light. But it's Star Wars. You know, it's not supposed to me. It's not supposed to be anything that's like, oh my gosh, this is life changing.
I think this is one of the problems with the Star Wars films. I was talking about this with my brother last night. Is Star Wars, A New Hope, but let's just call it Star Wars because that's the real name of the movie. Stop screwing around. There was no muddled. There was no gray area. It was good versus evil. That's not how the real world is, but we're going to the movies. We don't really need the real world. We see it constantly. I think Star Wars is making a mistake by kind of muddling the good versus evil story to some extent, you know, with all the gray areas and wow, really, should this character have done this? And wow, what happened further down? I mean, yeah, it is more morally complex, but that's not necessarily a good thing. I don't think this should be a morally complex universe. I think this should stay good Simple. Versus evil.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think they've kind of screwed. I mean, to some extent, sure. But in some of these cases, you kind of wonder which side the characters are on. And I'm not talking about, big switches. Those are the obvious things, but you know, the motivations become kind of
muddled,
exactly. And which moving on to a rather important figure in the Star Wars universe, Mark Hamill famously had some disagreements with the director, Rian Johnson, and it came out months before that he was not happy with the direction his character took. And just a few days ago, now that it's released, he reiterated.
Yep.
That is not the Skywalker he knows. He said maybe it's a Jake Skywalker, but it's not Luke Skywalker. Not to his credit, did he pout? Did he not turn in a good performance? Did he just quit? He's got a job to do.
A feud with Vin Diesel and
Mark Hamill is terrific in this movie. Yeah. I mean, I think he's absolutely great. But I agree with him. I don't like the direction the character went in. And we'll talk about that later when we get to the spoiler part. When everyone that the seven people who haven't seen it yet can shut off the podcast and then they can, you know, go into it with blissful ignorance. But yeah, I totally think he's right. I don't like the direction the character went in. And you know, those of you who've seen it, which is like everyone, you know what I'm talking about. And you may disagree. You may think that's the perfect path, but it just doesn't make sense. Really does not make any sense at all for that character. But
yeah,
we'll get to it.
I mean, I like that. I like how they did with the last final film when they had, you know, had him turn around and but then to have him brooding for at least 3/4 of this movie. I thought Hamill did great in the role. I just thought they extended his brooding in this film beyond where it was.
Yes.
It became annoying after a while, to be honest.
Almost Batman-esque.
Yeah, Hamill's character, I mean, that's where some of the moral complexity came in. And I'm fine with that, but it overstayed its welcome. You know, like you said, Lee, I mean, he's brooding for most of the film, and it's like, dude, you're Luke Skywalker. You're not Jake Skywalker, as Hamill said. But apparently he did kind of turn into Jake Skywalker, which is hopefully that's a meme now. Jake Skywalker.
It should be.
We should make t-shirts really quick. Anyway.
Well, you know, he's brooding, but he's not supposed to be brooding. He played the Joker, not Batman.
Yeah.
So other characters? Make Jaker. Jaker Skywalker.
Other characters? Is everyone happy with the way the Rey character, what her path was, and the performance?
I thought she
was good. Yeah. I thought she was fine.
Rey was the one I didn't have a problem with.
I think I know what you mean by that, as in that you pretty much had a problem with every other character.
Not every other character.
I'm close to that. Not major problems, maybe, but there are a lot of flaws in this movie. A lot of flaws. I mean, to me, a minor one, but this kind of set the tone for me early in the film. And this is not a spoiler because it happens right away. Dameron Poe is addressing this gigantic space, you know, the universe killer, whatever the heck they call it. They keep on going bigger and bigger with every show. And he's out there all by himself. Apparently, he's going to attack them all by himself. And he wants to talk to the commander. And the commander talks back, you know, and it's like, but they can hear him on the ship. Hey, blah, 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 let me talk to you. And the commander of the ship kind of mulls it over for a moment. And he says, patch him through. Like, I'm pretty sure if you can hear him, he's already patched through, stupid. Who wrote that line? So for the rest of the movie, I'm thinking, the people who wrote this, they didn't really think things through too well.
They don't understand the concept of a speakerphone.
You know, and I'm sorry. You know, how many times in, and this is not a Star Trek is better than Star Wars kind of thing at all, but how many times did Uhura say, Captain, we have a blah, blah, blah coming through? And he would say on the main screen. Constantly, right? That's the concept of patch them through. A communications officer hears something, or they get a signal and say, oh, connect us so we can talk. You were already talking, genius. I don't know. Maybe it was supposed to be a subtle thing that the commander wasn't exactly bright, but I don't think so. So after that, the entire time, I'm waiting for them to do another stupid thing. And sadly, they did a lot of other stupid things.
Something they said they wanted to do was throw a lot of the, because the original movie had a lot of humor in it, and it did, but I think they were pushing too
much. There's intentional humor, and then there's the humor of, wow, you guys screwed this up.
Yeah.
And they screwed that up. That wasn't intentional humor. That was just someone not thinking when they wrote that line, and there are other instances of that in the movie. And overall, I like the movie. I mean, I think it's the third best Star Wars movie that's been done. The problem is three of them are utter crap. So the bar is not very high.
Ouch.
You know? So, I like it better than the Return, Revenge of the Jedi, whichever you want to call it, because it's just supposed to be Revenge of the Jedi. But then the marketing department thought, oh, that's kind of rough, so let's just call it Return of the Jedi. Unless they're on cute little characters that are called Ewoks to sell to the kids, which we'll get to the porgs.
But actually, if I could interject, getting back to Rob's point, I definitely felt like they tried to write the script where there were more funny lines. But I thought that, you know, because there's a lot of humor in the first film. But I really felt like there were some lines in this movie, not even, they were supposed to be intentionally funny, but they were, it was pushing it. As Rob said, it was just, right, I know you want to make it funny, but it's not a comedy. You can just have, right. It's funny when Han Solo says things in the first couple of films, because it's like, it's what humor is supposed to be. It's taking away from, it's, you know, a release of tension. Whereas this, sometimes they were trying to make things funny and there was no tension built up for them to be funny in the first place.
Exactly. There were a lot of funny moments that worked, but there were also some that just fell flat. And one of the big differences is the actors. Harrison Ford can pull that off just in his sleep, and probably does a lot now because he's kind of old. They didn't have an actor on that set that has that ability. And I'm not knocking the actors that they have, but that's a different kind of skill set and just didn't work. And then some of it is, like you said, Lee, they didn't build to the moment. For then, let's relieve the tension. It was just they're kind of thrown in there. I appreciate the fact that they tried to lighten it up, because early on, the word was, "Oh my gosh, you know, they're going to go dark. So this is going to be blah blah blah." You know, we're thinking it's like, "Oh, this is going to be this grim, awful movie," and it's not a grim, dark film.
It'll be the Empire Strikes Back of Star Wars movie. Oh wait, never mind.
Yeah, right. So you know, I like the fact that they did attempt to lighten it up, and for the most part, I think it worked. But there were several moments that I was like, "Well, that bombed." So, literally, in some cases. But anyway, so what do we think about General Leia?
I think it's going to be really annoying that they, and this is going to sound harsh, so bear with me. I think it's really annoying that they didn't kill her on screen.
We're in the spoiler portion now.
This is not a spoiler part. CNN announced this one. Yeah, because Carrie Fisher is no longer with us.
Yes.
But she's supposed to be a big part of... That's not a spoiler.
It's a spoiler to some of us. Oh, my God. What? What? Next, you're going to tell me Jim Neighbors is gone. Oh, my God.
Again?
Anyway.
No, that
she we laugh when the dead, not at them.
Yeah. That's right.
She was supposed to be such a big part of episode 9, but right. You know, she's not going to be now,
right.
Which is why they didn't kill her in the movie, kill off Leia in the movie, and now they're going to have to do it between movies because they said that, you know, they're not going to be doing what they did with Rogue One with with Carrie Fisher and with Grand Moff Tarkin, big computer generated guy who was it? Peter Cushing.
I was going to say Peter Ustinov, but that would be weird. Yeah, I am not a fan at all of what they did with the character. She is excellent because she's Carrie Fisher,
right?
Or she was anyway. In the obvious moment when she would have been gone, and then suddenly she isn't. Really, really hated that moment for two reasons. First, the character displays something that. Really, none of the other characters that are strong with the Force have ever done. And it's kind of random that, yeah, I know, she's a Skywalker, whatever. However, how many times has she demonstrated any of those powers? Like, I think once, because she knew where Luke was. And now, all of a sudden, she's pulling off a trick that we haven't seen anybody ever do anything like this. It's like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Yeah. Plus, it's the emotional build. It's like, oh, my gosh, this is the moment. How sad. And then... in the context of like a few minutes, they pull off the "Oh no, Spock's not dead." Really? You had the payoff that we're all looking for, and it's like, "Oh, but we need her later, so we'll bring her back." It's like, no, that's cheap, crappy writing. Which again is like, yeah, I should have seen this coming because I realized you guys couldn't write worth a flip early on when you had the guy say patch him through. really, really, that's one of the worst moments I think of any Star Wars movie because it's a cheap trick. To get the emotional build, and then, oh, no, we're just fibbing, we're kings, and yeah. It's like, no, that was not cool at all.
Do you think that's one of those morally complex surprises that Wired was talking about in their article?
No, I think it's just stupid.
Yeah, I'll agree.
Anyway, Lee, did you enjoy that moment?
Actually, I'm kind of glad they didn't kill her off in the film. I mean, for this film alone, a standalone, now, obviously, like Rob pointed out, in the next film, there's going to be an issue because the actress is dead, so I don't know how they're going to fix that, and hopefully they won't have somebody try to fill her role. But I actually like that they didn't go, because it would have been too easy to go there, you know? She's dead as an actress, let's kill her in the film and have some kind of moment. And I'm glad they didn't do that, actually. I didn't see Jim Neighbors in the film at all, so I don't know what that reference was about. But I mean,
he was a stormtrooper. Yeah.
Oh, that would be awesome.
He's a stormtrooper.
And he started saying, surprise, surprise.
My way. Yeah, I'm glad that she didn't kill her off. I just don't like that they put in this fake moment where, oh, there's the moment we all been waiting for. And it's like, oh, surprise, it's not.
I do. I agree with that. I'm just glad they didn't, you know, just overall, I'm glad they didn't really kill the character off in the film because it would have been an easy moment to do. But yeah, when they already introduced Laura Dern's character, and had, you know, there was no Leia, then that would have been a smooth transition than what happened. But right. I'm glad they still didn't, like, have this moment where, oh, she's dead. Luke sees her and then she's dead or something like that. I'm glad that didn't happen.
So Laura Dern's character, are we in the spoiler moment yet?
Go ahead.
Let's go to the spoiler moments yet. So Laura Dern's character, personally.
Could have been cut out of the movie entirely with one line.
Yeah, not a fan of the character. She didn't come across as... She didn't have any kind of command presence since she was supposed to.
She was cold. She was too cold as an... I mean, I like Laura Dern, but in this film, she was just stagnant.
Exactly. Yeah, Laura Dern is terrific, but she did not work. And again, with the plot device that they had, as she takes command of the ship and she's the last one to let them escape, and she sees... let's say, a few moments of destruction, and then finally it dawns on her, oh, I could do this. really? How did you ever get any kind of command position at all? It took you that long to figure it out. I mean, I kind of assumed that's what she was going to do since she was the last one there. And then, okay, so to make it more dramatic, so we only have like three people left. That's a slight exaggeration. We'll wait until the last moment for the character to do what you kind of thought she was going to do to begin with. And again, has nothing to do with Laura Dern's performance. It's just, that's another problem with the script. Wow. Yeah, the main problem with Laura Dern's characters, I agree, is just the way she was written is just, and partly the way it was directed, she didn't have it. She might as well not have been in the movie at all. Right. Which is pretty sad when you get someone as good as Laura Dern and just waste her, because that's what they did. Which happens in movies, unfortunately, but that's
what you guys think about the Benicio del Toro role? It was kind of interesting to talk about moral flexibility.
Now that I liked, and I liked that introduction of the moral flexibility. I liked that totally worked for me, and I don't know how
the character beautifully.
Exactly, and I don't know how you make him not interesting. I mean, which they didn't. He was a very interesting character. Maybe you could just chloroform him, maybe. But other than that, there's no way for him not to be interesting on screen. And that was, to me, far and away the most interesting character. Not the high point, but because you didn't know what was going on with the guy. And the way he played him, I don't know, maybe you could say, well, it was the typical Benicio del Toro role, if he has such a thing. But maybe a little bit like way back in The Usual Suspects, where you've got this really odd character, and you're not sure what's going on with him. You're not sure how legit he is in any manner at all. So that was a really good bit, the whole sequence with him.
Except it could have been removed with if Laura Dern, whose character's name has escaped me, tells Poe, who is not a Teletubby in this movie.
Commander Cold.
Thank you.
Yeah, Cold. Holdo, right? Holdo.
Holdo sounds right, yes. If she tells Poe, I've got a plan. Just go over there. You'll be part of it later. We cut out the entire sequence with Benicio del Toro. Finn doesn't have to leave the ship. We might not even figure out who Rose is. And the movie is actually all of a sudden shortened back to the same length as the other ones.
But it was a fun sequence, even though it didn't need to be in there. Because, right, like you said, it really didn't.
It didn't, but we don't know what's going to happen in the next film. I mean, DJ might have because we still don't know what his role is, right? I mean, he still might be like, okay, you know.
Right.
Because we don't want to give anything away. But, you know, at the end, he wasn't necessarily good or bad. He was still just the character DJ, and he might have some role in the next film where that kind of plays off what happened in this film. So I can see it for that purpose.
Yeah, I can go with you on that, but they have said that they have they're doing this plan free. there's not, when Lucas did, you know, either of the trilogies, there were, you know, A, B, and C leading to D. But they don't have that in this because.
Yeah, but we don't. Do we want him to plan? Because he had plan D and it was awful. You know, yeah. But I mean, it's like an Indiana Jones thing. So he's making it up as he goes along. I mean, I think they've got to have some kind of.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to think they have some kind of plan, but then there's the Porgs.
Yeah, the Porgs.
Got to have the kids. Got to have merchandise for Christmas.
Exactly. And my biggest problem with the Porgs is, as much as I hated the Ewoks, they were important to the plot. Now, they didn't have to be teddy bears with big glass eyes. You know, they could have looked like anything. But they actually moved the plot. They were critical to the plot. The Porgs are just there to sell merchandise.
There was no other point to them.
Exactly. And I have a big problem. Well, not a big problem, but that's a problem with it. It's strictly merchandise. It's strictly for the kids, like you said, Lee. And it's that really is. They could have had some purpose. But, you know, other than a couple of funny little moments when Chewbacca's
actually been
eating
food.
Something, yeah. You know, yeah, they could have had some sort of tribble effect on the bad guys. You know, there could have been some little thing for them to reason for them to exist other than to sell toys, but there's none.
Captain Phasma is allergic to them. That's why she wears the silver armor.
Captain Phasma, jeez. Yeah. Another,
is that another wasted performance, by the way?
Another literal throwaway character. Did they ever build that character up? And
the big,
nothing.
Shiny silver stormtrooper that is almost completely useless.
And nothing happened with Captain Phasma in the first movie, and now very little happens in the second. And it's just wow. It's just
she's got her own book.
I want to reiterate that I actually like this film because it sounds like I hated it.
It sounds like you both don't like it.
There are a lot of problems. There are a lot of problems with this movie, but we haven't gotten to the good parts yet. And for what, at least what I think are the good parts. And there are a lot of good parts. Well, we talked about Carrie Fisher, her performance. And other than that plot device they used her in, she's excellent in the movie. She's really, really good. This is a nice send off for Carrie Fisher for sure. And we talked about how good Mark Hamill is, and he's great in the movie. I don't like the path that the character took, and Mark Hamill doesn't either, but he's excellent in the movie. And they did finally do some interesting things other than have him mope around and say, I ain't training nobody for three quarters of the film, which I guess we can get to that point, one of the highlights of the film. Or do we want to talk about Kylo?
Actually, can I ask you a question just about Skywalker? Did you like the moment where he just kind of, you know, does the shoulder thing where he's just like, nope, nothing to me.
I love that moment. I mean, it's I kind of think it's
hello
something of an anachronism. Seems kind of odd, but yeah, I love that moment. I thought that was terrific. To me, that's one of the highlights in the whole universe of the Star Wars films. And you thought?
I liked it. I liked the moment. I mean, it was because it was like, you know, we're gonna. Well, as it turned out. Well,
yes, as it turned
spoilers,
out.
Spoilers, we can't really block.
No, we're doing spoilers. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, we're doing spoilers.
So it turns out that Skywalker goes, he's not there. He's actually Jim Nabors the whole time. And then Jim Nabors disappears because he doesn't really die because he's Jim Nabors. So he just kind of goes into the ether and sings songs. So that's how the movie ends, actually, with Jim Nabors singing Ave Maria. It's kind of weird, but yeah.
Such a rich baritone voice.
It fit beautifully.
No, I love that moment when he finally decides it's time to do something, and I like the fact that it was a projection of him, that he didn't really show up, that it was just because it didn't really make sense. Because I'm thinking, it's like, okay, how the hell did he get there so quickly? Which there were some other things. It's like, how did Daisy Johnson show up in this movie at all? No, it was just kind of odd that Ray showed up. When didn't really make sense that she was there that quickly, but it was like, okay, I'll go with it because she needed to be there. But yeah, when Luke finally shows up for battle, and I like the fact that he was there basically just as a distraction, made him waste a lot of weapons too. But that made sense that was his.
Not that we ever see anyone reload in this series, but yes.
Right.
I don't have to reload. Come on, what are you talking about? Reload. Reload. That's so 21st century, dude.
Oh, silly me.
Yeah, that was a terrific moment. And it was kind of worth the payoff of him being the mopey Luke the entire time. That being said, that's why Skywalker was upset, because Luke Skywalker would not sit around and mope, like you said earlier on, Lee, that it's like, didn't make sense that he's just like, takes him forever to decide to finally be Luke Skywalker again. But when he does, he's in total Luke Skywalker mode, that's for sure. That was awesome.
So did you catch on to the minor continuity glitch with that last bit? Where it looked, as soon as he came on the screen, I went, something is wrong here. Because as he walked on the screen, I thought, you know what? I understand you jumping into that X-Wing you have, you know, under the water on planet whatever he was on. But on the between there and where Leia and everybody else is, you stopped to get a haircut?
Well. Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was, I kind of went, oh, nope, something's going on here. Because, I don't know, that took me out of it a little bit. I don't know if it was a continuity thing or if it was done purposefully so we'll know that something is a bit different now.
Yeah, it's how he wished to look. He didn't want to look like this, the old beat-up.
That's true, yeah.
Shaggy dude
of his,
yeah, of his true inner self. I mean, I did like the fact that he handed the dice, or what appeared, yeah, looked like dice, but to Leia, like and they were there, and they were actually physically there, which is, that's an interesting manifestation of his power. Like, even though he was just a projection, he managed to take something that's actually there. So that was a cool moment.
Well,
too.
They do disappear.
Well, actually, I think that's when Leia, whatever, knew that. When he handed those to her, she kind of went, oh, you're not really here. Because she would be able to know that.
And she does have make that face, too. Like,
yeah.
like you're saying, it's like she's aware. And we're just not aware yet. But
she kind of goes, oh, I get it. We'll let everyone else in on it later.
Right.
A wonderful moment. A wonderful moment. And the other, I guess one of the other big moments is the chamber of the Supreme Commander Snoke and the face off with Rey and Kylo and the big fight that ensues.
A highlight of the movie. I enjoyed that scene.
I absolutely enjoyed the scene. I'm still not quite sure how I feel about the method that Kylo uses to dispatch Snoke.
Spoiler.
Was it? Yeah, we're doing spoilers. Was Kylo that much more powerful that Snoke just thought he could read all of his thoughts, or was Snoke distracted, or was Snoke not that big a deal that he didn't notice? Oh, gee, I can read your thoughts, but I can't tell that you're making this thing turn to get ready to attack me. That was kind of odd to me, and also it was not to the extent of Captain Phasma, but this has been a big build, right? And it's like, oh my gosh, he's like the worst. It's like, oh no, there he is. He's not so bad after all, because he kind of screwed that one up, didn't he?
A lot.
Yeah. So I know they're because they need to set up Kylo as the big bad, as opposed to Snoke. And I'm still not getting that vibe from, is there any child in the world that has nightmares about Kylo Ren as opposed to Darth Vader? No.
Yeah.
Most of them are still thinking. Most of them are still thinking. Shut up, you whiny little toad! Yeah. I mean, he's much better in this film. I think they've moved him forward, and maybe they'll continue to move him forward. But he still comes off as just so whiny and so childish. It's like, seriously, you're related to Vader? How? I don't see it, because you have, yeah, and I get that's why. He did what he did to Snoke he does have some depth to him, but it still doesn't work for me. He is not ever going to show up on the top. I don't know if he make the top 250 villains, let alone be in the top two like Granddad is. So, yeah, it's just not working for me. Just not working.
I have some dreams of Adam Driver, but I wouldn't really call them nightmares.
I was going to say, and they're not connected to Star Wars either, are they, you naughty boy?
Mm-hmm.
Adam Driver is an excellent actor. Has nothing to do with Adam Driver.
Right.
It's how the character is written.
I'm waiting for him to grow up and adopt his adult name of Severus Snape.
I was hoping he'd play the role like Logan Lucky, to be honest. That would have been awesome.
Uh-huh.
Which would explain the hand, too. So.
It would explain the hand.
Oh, dear.
Oh, Lord. So, Rey's good. Kylo
we
is
did like the movie,
iffy.
By the way.
Yeah.
Just wanted to. I think that we at this point we should point this out every few minutes that we do like the movie.
The scenes that work are amazing, and they are some of the best scenes in the entire group of films. I can't say that about any of the prequels. None of the prequels. You know, the final big battle with grown up angsty Darth and Obi-Wan on the lava planet. That's kind of cool, but
that was very well choreographed. But at that point in the movies, I didn't really care that much about either of them.
Right. Exactly.
So there's no emotional attachment there for that scene.
Right. Yeah. Where there are emotional attachments and speaking of the big battle scene that starts off in Snoke's chamber and with Rey and Rey and the emo Ren. There are interesting twists there, which I don't know why I'm not saying it because we spoiled everything else. But, you know, that was nice because I was kind of wondering about it, but I didn't really see it coming. So I'm not going to say I was like, oh, I knew that was going to happen. That was cool. And it made perfect sense that his motivation wasn't to save Rey. He had other motivations. So that made sense to me. So I mean, that whole sequence is other than Snoke being kind of a dope, that worked really, really well. That was really well done.
Yeah, the only thing I thought about that scene, I thought that scene was fantastic too, and I really liked the, you know, how it was. Well, again, we're on spoilers. So Ren and says we should just, you know, do away with the Jedi and the Sith and just do our own thing, basically.
Right.
The only thing I wish they would have done is kept going with that a little bit stronger instead of, you know, Ren going back and once the. You know, speed of light, you know, I thought that scene was pretty good. I mean, I didn't like the way the Laura Dern character so much, but, and I knew what was going to happen is she was going to just explode all those ships. But I thought that kind of moment where there was no sound, I kind of like that.
That was nice.
Yeah, that was.
But yeah, just seeing Ren kind of go back. We don't know what's going to happen in the next film, but I don't know. It would have been nice to, if there'd been some other plot point there where he had some other plan other than just, okay, I'm going to get these guys back and I'm going to be in charge. Oh, I'm still not really in charge. You know, because there's still that battle of, hey, I'm in charge,
right?
Which
exactly.
was ridiculous. I wish they had taken that scene and built on it for the rest of what was left in the film instead of just kind of reversing back, which is what they did.
Yeah, I guess a lot of my criticism of the movie is because I wanted this to be a great movie. I wanted this to stand up with Star Wars and The Empire Strikes Back. And like I said, I think it's better than Return of the Jedi. And let's not even mention the other crap that they put out. But like several movies that have come out this year, I was hoping for a great movie and I got a good one. So yeah, again, the problems I have with the movie, they're minor. The things that worked really, really work. So overall, I like it quite a bit, but there's so many things that could have been easily fixed. And that's what it's that's what's disappointing to me. It's not that I'm disappointed that it wasn't good. I'm disappointed that it wasn't great.
I want to ask you guys this, because this was something I noticed, especially with the throne room scene, when it becomes a fight scene, is that I think they Deadpooled it a bit, which is something the thing I hated about Deadpool, is that you start off the movie with this incredible action sequence, but break it up by going off to character and doing exposition and going off and let's go see what these characters are doing. And they did that in this throne room fight scene. Because we've got Rey and we've got Kylo and they're doing the big lightsaber, well choreographed fight scene. Oh, let's go see what Finn's doing. Mm-hmm. And back to the fight scene. And let's see what Laura Dern's doing. And back to the fight scene. Keep it at the fight scene because you're killing the momentum that it had.
Yeah, it's almost like they didn't trust the scene to hold the audience's attention.
You got me. Oh, where the hell are we going? Back where you were. Okay, we're back to the fight scene.
Which is weird. I mean, we were talking about what a Quentin Tarantino Star Wars film would look like before. A Quentin Tarantino, you can guarantee there would be different scenes, but he would not jump out of the middle of a fight scene. You know that would not happen.
Well, see, Quentin Tarantino wouldn't have as much blood in Star Wars either because all the wounds get cauterized by lightsabers.
And all of Finn's lines will be completely different. But, you know.
Completely different. Finn, Finn to me was just kind of like along for the ride in this movie. It's the same as Poe. I mean, yeah. Did they really matter that much?
If they have that one line of, we've got a plan, just hang on a minute.
Yeah.
They don't even need to be in the movie.
To me, they're trying to, it almost like they're trying to make Poe the new Han Solo. To some extent, and it just doesn't work.
No.
Well, Han Solo and Wedge had a kid named him Poe. That's not.
Yeah, I'm not sold on the Poe character, to be honest. I mean, I think the actor who plays the role is fine. He just didn't do anything for me in this film.
No, he didn't really add much in the first one. I mean, he's kind of a combo of Luke and Han, and it's just the way he's written it. And he's seen in some other films, and this guy's awesome. But the way the character's written, he's just kind of like, eh. You know, and you know, oh, he's so headstrong. That's why I like him. It's like they're telling you this is why you should like the character instead of showing you in a sensible way. Okay, this character is cool. No one had to tell you Han Solo was headstrong and was going to do things his own way.
You saw it.
Right. And they do it to some extent with Poe, but it just doesn't really matter when he does these things on his own.
They want to make him into a loose cannon, but he doesn't have the cleverness of Solo, I think.
Yeah.
Because he looks a little bit like a buffoon near the end of the film, because it's like, oh, I'm going to do this, we're going to do this, and then it's like, oh, wait, Laura Dern's thing actually was supposed to be work anyway. So I don't know. It just made him look... I mean, I get that he's a loose cannon like Solo, but again, Solo, when it was time to buy in as for a group, he did that. It wasn't always...
Exactly. Yeah, which is a great point. And that's it exactly.
It's been 5 minutes. I would like to point out that we did like the movie.
Yeah, well, actually, and here's another thing I didn't like about the movie, talking about the Millennium Falcon. It runs through, you know, the crazy run through obstacles that the Falcon has to do in every single movie because, you know, that's what they do. Yeah. To me, this kind of takes away, isn't Han Solo supposed to be the greatest pilot in the universe? And it's like, okay, so this chick who really doesn't fly anything, I know, she's got the Force and Chewie's there, but.
And she's cute.
But really?
That helps.
So not only is she a Jedi Master, you know, who can, in the first film, outduel this guy who's been trained to be a masterful Jedi and does it handily. That's kind of odd. But she's also this absolute crack pilot. Well, so maybe Han Solo wasn't that good a pilot. Maybe it was just the ship is so damn good. I mean, that bothered me.
It's the, like, Force is really the ship.
Yeah, it's just, it kind of damages the legacy of that character a little bit, because it's like,
I think you're missing the point. It's Chewbacca who's really the pilot. He's really the pilot the whole time.
And maybe he was really the pilot the whole time, which would be funny, but it's like, okay, tell
just
me that
made
he's
Han
the pilot.
Look good. It was a Porg. It was the Porg that was sitting there.
It's the dashboard
on
Porg.
The dashboard. Dashboard?
Oh my God. Yeah, it seems to have a dashboard. I don't know. I mean, there are just, again, and that's a little thing. And the things that bother me for the most part about this movie are little things. And like I said, that's what keeps it from being great to me, because that Empire Strikes Back, I can't think of anything in the Empire Strikes Back as like, well, okay, this, well, no, this. It's like, that thing is, that's like a flawless movie. And
almost.
Yeah. Well, here we go.
I'm just saying there's a couple minor.
Dog in the legacy.
I am not. Actually, no. My big thing with The Last Jedi was that the entire movie takes place over, what, 18 hours? Including...
Seems to.
They said we've only got 18 hours of energy left, and so the whole thing has to be done within 18 hours, including the remarkably easy training of a Jedi Knight, which they did in The Empire Strikes Back, and that's what bugged me about Empire Strikes Back, was they're supposed to be... You know, a Jedi Academy where you start as a fetus turning into a Jedi, which you don't get to be until you're apparently after the age Anakin Skywalker got to. And yet, Luke and Rey, in these two movies, spent a combined, what, 3.5 hours training, and I'm a Jedi Knight now. Well, what the hell was the Academy for then?
It's for the slow students.
Oh, well, yeah, that's the one thing that really just bugged me.
Luke and Rey are both apt pupils. Makes a big difference.
Dilated. They're dilated. No.
which, speaking of, since we're on spoilers, the parentage of Rey, which was much discussed.
Mm-hmm. And they said they may change later if that helps.
Which would make more sense, to be honest.
And I was thinking about that because they've revealed the parentage, and spoiler alert, she's nobody special. She's just born from whoever.
That we're led to believe, anyway.
Exactly. Right. And because of the character that says it, it's easily changed. It's like, oh, well, he was lying to you. Which certainly would make sense that he would say that to her. But
trying to get her on his side.
I'm fine. So, yeah. I'm fine with she's from just nobody. Because they got to come from someplace.
See, ooh. I was actually thinking, and we're going to go back to the original trilogy, or not the original trilogy, the prequel trilogy.
Right.
With the whole... child born of the Force. I'm thinking that, you know, Anakin had a mom, so not really born of the Force.
Yeah.
I think Rey didn't have parents and is actually a manifestation of the Force, which is how she got through everything so quickly.
That would be interesting. Mm-hmm. But it goes back to Anakin. It's like, who are his parents? Where was his descent from royal lineage? There wasn't. He's just some kid. So there's no reason that Rey has to be connected to anybody that's previously in the universe, and these movies need that. They need to get away from, oh, this is the story of the Skywalker clan endlessly, even though there are literally an infinite number of other beings in the universe. We're going to focus on this family. Granted, it's important, but I'm like, really? You know, you're not from some little hamlet in Alabama where everybody is related.
Jim Neighbors. Like,
so, again.
Yeah, but they do show the kid at the end, you know, who has something
right.
going on.
Exactly.
So I'm interested to see where that goes.
Exactly. And hopefully, he's just some random kid. So that supports the thing that it would, Rey is really just from, and you know, she is not from any particular lineage. But she's hardly a nobody
anymore.
Right.
So, again, that was just mind games that he was playing, whether just calling or nobody. Just because you're not from a particular group or a particular people doesn't mean you're not somebody. And I guess that's their political statement, if there is any kind of political statement in the film at all, because they're, I mean, that's the subtext all the time in the Star Wars movies. But it's, you know, this is certainly not some anti-Trump scribe at all. So it doesn't need to be.
No, thankfully it isn't. Because I don't. Maybe Trump was actually in the casino as one of those big special effect hair people.
Yeah, pretty sure he was, and they didn't need to do any makeup on him. I'll have to wait for the Blu-ray. Oompa Loompas, which were pretty much there, but they just made him smaller and rabbit squirrel-like and called him Porgs.
I thought they were guinea pigs.
I don't know what the heck they are. They're an annoyance. I know that.
I did like the crystal Pokemon evolution at the end of the movie with the on the snow planet. Those were good too.
Yes, those were interesting. More toys. I'm
fairly certain those are in the new Gen 3 of Pokemon Go that just got released.
At least they served some mild purpose as opposed to the Porgs. Go this way.
Exactly. Yeah, there was a point to them.
Yeah.
Porgs were there to make chicken jokes. Which, all right, whatever. One of the things that I've been seeing a lot about is this a because the first of this series, first of this trilogy, was basically a ripoff of ye olde Star Wars, sometimes called A New Hope, unless you're Todd. Was this a ripoff of The Empire Strikes Back? Because I think there's enough of it there to, you know, not in the same order necessarily, but I think there's enough of it there to make the case that it is. Was it original enough as a movie?
I think it's original enough. I mean, it definitely has a lot of callbacks to The Empire, but I think there was enough original. It's not nearly as much of a rehash as The Awakening was.
I don't think it's as obvious.
And that's fine. Because The Force Awakens, that was my problem with that. It's like, I've seen this movie before, and it was better when I saw it before.
Right.
We've talked about this, probably talk about this on every single episode of the show. It's like, it's all about expectations. You know, if you go in with average expectations, an average movie can be good. And if you go in with huge expectations, a really good movie can be eh. And that's my problem with The Force Awakens is just, yeah, I've seen this. Like 80% of this movie, and it was much better. This one, yeah, I've seen maybe 60% of the movie. So I'm going to give it a pat. For me, I'll give it a pass on that. I mean, there are a lot of callbacks to it, but like you said, it's much more subtle, and they did enough changes to it that it's not quite, you know, not the same situation. So I'm good with it.
I've got my list here of things. We have someone starts the movie in a back to tank, which we had. It was Luke. Now it's, God, his name just escaped because Finn. He wasn't in the movie long enough. Finn. Thank you, Finn. Yeah. Did we have a battle against Imperial walkers on a snow planet with dilapidated speeders? No, we had a battle against Forced Order walkers on a salt planet that looks like snow and dilapidated speeders. Check. Evacuation of a base? Check. Flight through an asteroid belt in a canyon? Okay, this time it's a cave. It's still in the Falcon. Check. Jedi Master in a secluded area teaches how to be a Jedi in 3 easy lessons. Check. There's a dark side tree vision cave thing. Yeah, only this time it looks like 1985 Simple Minds video for All the Things She Said. Check. Was there a betrayal by someone believed to be trusted? Yeah, check. There's a gambler on another planet. Okay, this time it's a hacker. Check. Was there a parental revelation? Yeah, check. So basically we just don't have a Wampa losing an arm, and it's The Empire Strikes Back in a different order.
But does one of the main characters lose his hand or her hand? No.
That was my point. I just said that. I consider the Wampa to be a major creature.
Wow. Well, it's more important than the Porg, so I guess you got that.
There we go. I mean, we're eight movies in. I mean, it's the amount of originality. I mean, if I'm wrong, I believe George Lucas was the one that said he first created Star Wars just so he could reassemble the cast of Bingo Long. If I may be wrong about that, but but I mean, we're eight movies in, so I mean, the originality is going to be. I mean, if it's borrowing from the same some movies previous in the same franchise, I mean, that's a lot of list. But to me, it was original enough. I mean, I'm there to be entertained, and I found it entertaining.
we did like this movie.
I mean, it's not Tarantino. It's right. Like we keep saying, we did like it. It's not a Tarantino film. You know, it's not Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction Star Wars form would have been fantastic, but that's never going to happen. It wasn't Empire Strikes Back, but Empire is a film, even if it wasn't had Star Wars films around it, it's standalone, it would be a great film. And I think anybody doing the film would think that. So
definitely.
It's not Empire, but I was entertained. I liked it. Is it the best movie I've seen? It's not the best movie I've seen. Lady Bird was pretty good. It's not the best film I've seen in the last 2 weeks, but it was still entertaining, which is what Star Wars is supposed to be.
Yeah, so, I agree. Like I said, to me, it's the third best Star Wars movie. It's better than the third of the original trilogy to me. So, you know, again, I wish it had been great and it's not great, but should people go see it? Absolutely. You should go see it. Should you see it twice? Yeah, probably. It's a fun movie.
That's what Blu-rays are for.
Compared to some of the train wrecks that have come out this year. I mean, this movie could have been awful.
It could have been another Ghost in the Shell, but it wasn't.
Yeah. It could have been a lot of things, and luckily, it turned out to be a good movie. So, you know, I would say on a five-star basis, I'd say three, maybe 3.5. It's a good film. I liked it.
Yeah. I'd give it a 4 just because I thought it was entertaining enough.
I'll give it a 4 as well. So there, Todd.
I am cut to the quick. I'm gonna go huddle in a room like Kylo Ren.
Did have a couple other Star Wars things that popped up this week that I want to ask you two about. Was The Last Jedi good enough to give Rian Johnson a whole new trilogy just by himself?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Because they announced that, weirdly, the Sunday of opening weekend, and I think they did that on purpose because that was Rian Johnson's birthday. So happy birthday. Here, have a Star Wars trilogy to yourself. Well, was this movie good enough to get a Skywalker-free, apparently, trilogy?
Totally.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to carry three. It's hard to say for any director. I mean, look at Kill Bill. I love Tarantino, but, you know, one film, yeah, but another film would have probably been terrible, comparatively speaking. So I don't know. Is it good enough to give any director three films? I don't know. But I thought the film was entertaining enough. If he makes them close to as entertaining as this film was, then yeah. But, of course, we'd have to watch the second and third one of those films.
Yeah, we all know if he screws up the first one in the standalone that, okay, well, all bets are off and they'll just change it. I mean, of course they would. But to have the confidence in him, it's like, yeah, because it's a good movie. It's a good movie and it's performing well. It's like, what else would they want? So, well, of course they would want the best movie that's making the most money ever. Of course they always want that. But considering what the stakes are and considering what he delivered, yeah, they absolutely should give him that. That being said, if a major actor who plays the major role in your film has a discussion with you about the direction the character goes, you might want to listen to him a little more, Rian. Just saying. You know, for the purpose of the film and the story, I'm kind of okay with it. But like Lee said, seems like about 18 hours ago. Did he really have to mope around for like 3/4 of the film before finally turning into Luke? I'm glad that he finally did.
It was the hair.
Yeah, it was holding him back, clearly. It was weighing him down, literally. So I totally understand where Hamill is coming from with his thought process on that. But, you know, they decided to go in a different route, and they went with a different route. It really doesn't make sense for that character to me. But, you know, then again, we do see the reasons for it in the film, and I'm glad they addressed it. And that was another nice point, too. You're getting the two versions of the same story. It's too bad there weren't like two other people there and we could have had a Rush Homan moment there, but that was a nice moment. So there's a lot of good parts to this film. They far outweigh the problems with it. Yeah. Good movie. And yeah, he should do it. He definitely should have the reins.
Now, another thing they announced this week was that the Obi-Wan Kenobi movie is going to start shooting in early 2019. Do we need that? Or are we, being overloaded on Star Wars stuff already?
To me, it depends what they're covering. If they're covering the time frame from when he went from the young, handsome Obi to the old, still dashingly handsome but 900 years old Alec Guinness version, I'm interested to see what happens with that. I'm especially interested to see who play. Have they announced who's playing him? Because I really hope it's Mr. McGregor.
it's my understanding that Ewan McGregor wants to come back and do it.
To me, it would be intent and extremely stupid for them not to have him play the role.
The best part of the prequels.
Yeah, by far.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that bothers me, the prequels. You look at the talent that's in those prequels, and they manage to make them look, okay. Like, you have amazing actors in those films, and George Lucas is just, he ain't that good with people. I mean, Natalie Portman is awful in those movies, and she is a great actress. And
Samuel L. Jackson, the same way. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Ahmed Best was just an excellent, never mind.
Yeah, I was like, they might as well have been Porgs. They're so bad in those movies. But yeah, if they get someone other than McGregor, there is zero point in doing it. Zero point. And because with a good script and a good director, it can be a fantastic movie.
Yeah, I'm there. He's one of my favorite characters from the whole Star Wars franchise. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, especially if it's McGregor, it could be somebody else. But as long as it's well made, yeah, I would definitely see that.
You know, the fact that they're doing, and it's coming out very soon, the Han Solo movie, if that is a character that's important enough to have their own story with a completely new actor, like, how on earth would you not do an Obi-Wan story with an actor who's no one thinks of Obi-Wan and thinks of Ewan McGregor instead of Alec Guinness, I wouldn't think, but it's pretty damn close. And with the right hands, yeah, it could be, like you said, Lee, it could be fantastic. So yeah, I'm totally on board with an Obi-Wan story. I mean, if you're going to make a bunch of standalone stories, geez.
He's got to be one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Because otherwise it's going to be a Porg movie, and I really don't want to see that.
No.
Which probably will be on the Disney Channel next year.
Yeah, I was about to say. Animated series.
Exactly.
And with minions. Mm. Porgs versus minions. That's what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be so sad.
I wanted to throw this real-world story at you. But it has a Star Wars catch. Let me throw this at you. The Blue Origin, which is the space exploration thing headed up by, who's it, Jeff Bezos, the guy who founded Amazon. He sent up a test flight this past week with a crash test dummy in his spaceship. And it actually worked. The spaceship went fine. The Star Wars tie is they decided to name the crash test dummy Mannequin Skywalker.
That's funny.
That's awesome.
I've had nowhere else to put this story, so I'll throw it in here.
That's beautiful.
And now a question, actually. in real world, and not necessarily tied into Star Wars, do you guys think that since Disney bought Fox this past week, finally announced, yay for them, do you think we're finally going to get the original trilogy released without the special editions, like, you know, outside of Bespin or Nicki Minaj singing in Jabba's palace?
Eventually, I don't know why not. It's more money. Why wouldn't they do it?
It's more money.
Yeah,
I think there's a call for it.
Oh yeah, there's definitely a call for it. The special original editions, and they'll put them
original.
Yeah, and they'll put them out on VHS. That would be the kicker. And then you have to buy a VCR to play them. It's like, people would probably do it. I think they'll eventually do that. We'll probably have to wait
laser
a
disc,
while.
Maybe.
Laser disc. laser disc.
Old technology has been killing me this past week because someone gave my daughter some cassette tapes that I would of some old radio shows that I think would be great to listen to. And then I realized I don't have a tape player anymore.
That's unfortunate.
That's annoying. So, anyway, yeah, I'd love to see the original trilogy come out again without the special edition stuff. I didn't like that as much.
Yeah, the one with Voldemort is just really weird. It just doesn't make any sense.
Although it does explain why Adam Driver looks like Snape.
That's true. He would make a great Snape, actually. Now that we're talking about Harry Potter, we should just have a Snape alone film, and it should just be Adam Driver.
That would be excellent.
With no other characters, just Adam Driver brooding around a room.
Occasionally making tea. That'd be fun.
That's right.
Putting on a Batman mask so he can brood properly.
That's right.
My final question, well, it might not be my final question, depending on how long this goes, but my final question was, where's Ted? Turns out there are several books called Where's Ted?
Ted was supposed to be here. I did get a text from him a little while ago that said the mall is awful.
Really? What a shock, Ted. Yeah. Why did you agree to this?
Well, he did tweet 16 minutes ago. It says new online threats facing children in 2018.
Ah, now we know where Ted is.
Uh-huh.
He's challenging
pulling children. A Harvey Weinstein? Ooh, no. It's,
oh.
Just kidding, Ted.
Goodness.
Oh. Where's Ted by Hawkins? Where's Ted by Keith Faulkner? Ooh, it's a surprise lift the flap book. Don't get that one for the kids.
Where's Ted?
Where's Ted? And by Philip Harrison. So there are at least three books called Where's Ted? All available on Amazon.
It's the easiest book in the world because he's at some random mall in the South, so he's the only African-American guy there. Where's Ted? There he is. Turn the page. There he is.
And on that note.
There he is.
Ow.
Thanks for listening to our special edition, special Star Wars edition of Blaster Beer and Barbecue, or Cinema Savants, or whatever. You know what? We may even bring Lee back next week, but yeah. Good night, everybody.
Oh, my head hurts.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Darn, that's the end.